Hey everybody, welcome to the Vet Tech Tap Room. This is our spin-off series from the Vet Tech Cafe. These episodes are live and uncut, discussing hot topics in our field, or talking about previous episodes amongst ourselves, and always highlight something positive happening in our profession. These episodes will be published as regular podcast episodes and will also be available on our YouTube channel as well. So get yourself a beer or a potato water and find us live on Instagram and join the discussion. Now if you'll excuse us, those are our beers the bartender is pouring. Good morning, caffeinators. Well, at least it's morning for me. Dave, I think it's afternoon for you.
It's just slightly afternoon here, yeah.
Well, at least for you, as we're doing a tap room episode here, at least you're waiting till the afternoon to start drinking. I'm going to go ahead and pop my stout now, but what do you have?
We're doing Christmas this week, and I was at Target, and I found this weird little thing called St. Bernardus Christmas Ale. It's a Belgian Abbey Ale.
Ooh.
It's 10% alcohol, so it's a good one. So,
yeah. Yeah.
And I'm drinking this out of, we had Christmas last night with Robin's daughter, and they got me, I don't know if you've seen this on Facebook, the ad I've seen, where they make a beer mug or beer glass, I guess, out of a baseball bat. Have you seen that?
Yep.
Yeah, I got one with the Red Sox on it, so I'm drinking my
super cool
my Christmas ale out of my baseball bat.
Nice. I have a I don't know if you can hear that, but
I heard that.
Yeah, it's another version of the Black is Beautiful Stout. This is from Stone Brewing down here in San Diego, and this the version is brewed with pecans, wheat, and rye, and partially aged in bourbon barrels.
I love it in the bourbon barrel.
Yeah, and it's 10%. And for anybody that's listening, obviously we're not doing this as a live, but it's 9:30 in the morning here on the West Coast. But the Packers play tonight, and frankly, you can't drink all day if you don't start in the morning. So, cheers, buddy.
Oh, cheers to you, buddy. We're going to have to put that on a t-shirt or something. Can't drink all day if you don't start in the morning.
So, you know, as you just kind of said a minute ago, it's Christmas week.
Yeah.
It's kind of crazy how it seems like 2020 has dragged on and taken forever, yet now all of a sudden it's the week of Christmas.
Yeah.
It's just about over. Are you ready? Like, what in terms of working? I know you're doing a couple of different things now. What's that looking like coming up with the holidays? How's it going out there?
I've got a few shifts that I'm working. I'm working at a couple different practices and working on some consulting things. So we're doing good. And you know, just this week or just yesterday, I found out that two of the places that I work at had positive tests. So somehow I was able to avoid working with anyone that had it. So lucky me. I'm still safe. But it does concern me because one of the practices I work at is a fairly large practice. And you know, I'm only working there maybe one or two days a week, unless they call me in. And the other practice, I only work one or two days a week. So somehow I was able to avoid it. Robin just got tested and she was negative, so she avoided it as well. But I wasn't in contact, so I didn't have any need to go get tested unless Robin showed up positive.
Yeah.
But you know, it's just a stark revelation that COVID is still here.
Yeah.
And I'm really worried about the holiday with people congregating with families. And
well, it's kind of a microcosm of just expanding your circle a little bit, right? Just you know, you adding one or two different clinics that you're helping out at, you know, because everybody is just so, you know, overworked and tired, and people are out and whatever else, and you know, you expand your circle a little bit and you know, you end up potentially exposed. Same thing with my wife. You know, she started her new full-time job and, excuse me, I think two different weeks already. She's, you know, found out after the fact that she's worked with somebody that ended up being positive and she's already, you know, gotten tested a couple times and thankfully been negative every time. But it doesn't take much to, you know, to expand your circle just a little bit and run into a potential exposure. So,
well, and it's, you know, you and I have kind of flip-flopped, right? You used to work in practices where I was at home most of the time, and now you're home all the time, and I'm out and about now.
Yeah.
And it does concern me a lot that
yeah.
I am going to come in contact with somebody and potentially get it, which, you know, I can't live like that. I can't live in constant fear of that, but I'm doing the right things about making sure that I'm wearing my masks. And one of the practices I'm working at, they've installed new protocols of, you know, double masking, face shields, and things like that. So, you know, they're doing right by the employees, by making sure everyone's protected. It's just, and you know, we always look at, we always say this about COVID of like, hopefully something good comes out of this. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that I'm seeing now is that anyone that is even slightly sick now says, you know what, I'm not feeling right, I'm not coming in. And that, you know, that puts a strain on the staff. However, if you show up and you're positive, I mean, that's such a, like the amount of stress that puts on the staff for showing up when you're feeling sick is, you know, think about last year. You had a cold, you had the sniffles, you'd still show up. Yeah. And I'm guilty of that 100%. I would do that all the time, but now.
Oh, absolutely. And think about how you know, sometimes, I mean, I can think of the clinic I used to work at. Like if somebody came to work sick, which everybody does, we all did it.
Yeah.
And I mean, we had crazy amounts of sick time when I worked at Tufts, but it went through the hospital. I mean, everybody got it, and I mean, it might be 2 or 3 months before the last person gets it, and you might get it again. Like it absolutely that happens. And so, you know, with this, it's a completely different thing, but we've all seen how that happens.
Yeah. Yeah.
And how easy that happens. So, when we were on our trip out here, moving out here from New England, we visited one of Molly's friends, in Denver. And she's I don't honestly know what her role is. I know that she's a human physician of some sort. And she made a really interesting point because we met up with her and her boyfriend and had dinner. And she said something to the effect of, you know, if you were an essential worker or something along those lines where you continue to work through the pandemic and you had a job that you continue to go to and all that, seemingly in general, a lot those people felt more comfortable being out and about, at least in her experience, than those that say were working in an office and now we're all of a sudden working remote and didn't leave their home for several months.
Oh, I see.
You know, so like if you were constantly exposed to the outside world, you know, almost inherently felt a little more safe to go be out in it versus if you all of a sudden had to stay home and then didn't go out, you were almost more not fearful of it. I don't want to use that word, but
more cautious.
Cognizant. Cautious, cognizant of it. And I thought that was a really interesting point because I certainly still went to work. So did Molly. And I don't want to say that we were, you know, nonchalant about the whole thing, but we certainly didn't have, you know, a whole lot of concern or what have you about being out in the world. You know, we still, you know, would have dinner on a patio or whatever. But now, like working from home, I'm a lot more conscious of who I come in contact with. And I don't mean to say that applies to everybody, but it certainly, you know, now that I'm kind of on the other side of the fence, it certainly makes me think twice and say like, hey, there for some people, there might be something to that.
Yeah.
So,
you know, as we said, it's... And the vaccine, you know, once the vaccine comes out, I feel like everyone's going to feel a lot safer with the vaccine. But then again, unless everyone gets it,
I hope enough people get it. You know, there's obviously a lot of talk online about, you know, potential side effects and all those weird things.
Right.
And I mean, come on, how many vaccine reactions do we see?
Yeah. Right.
Like they happen for sure, but it's not like, you know, it's not like every dog that gets it, you know, develops angioedema and hives, like, or anaphylaxis, or like it happens.
It's such a small percentage, yeah.
Right. But like, so, you know, so hopefully enough people get it, and hopefully it continues to be accessible. I mean, I know I myself, for the first time this year, I'm pretty sure for the first time this year, got a flu shot.
Yeah, I'm actually going to go do that tomorrow.
You know, I didn't even have, you know, any like dead arm or anything like that.
But,
you know, so I hope that people take advantage of that and it becomes, you know, widespread distribution enough that enough.
And one of our standard vaccines, like, you know, we've absolutely essentially gotten rid of polio, right? Because everyone's vaccinated. Hopefully, you know, hopefully soon, like within the next year, we're going to start to see a much bigger decline in the number of cases.
I certainly hope so.
Just with vaccines. And hopefully that's going to be something that we can look at, you know, 10, 15 years down the road and say, remember how we used to have all these concerns about COVID and now we've got a vaccine and now nobody has it. I hope that does happen, but.
Yeah. And even if it's something that has to become like a seasonal shot, like the flu shot, you know, where you still have to get it every year or, you know, you at least can get it every year, you know, but I hope that that's something that, that is on the horizon and a huge, you know, thank you and shout out to the developers of this vaccine. I mean, I know a lot of the groundwork had already been laid, but it still really kind of speaks to what a group of people can accomplish in a short period of time with of course the right resources and money, but also you know, with a drive to make an impact.
And essentially what, like 6-7 months they came up with the vaccine, did some testing and now, you know, even just the first few have been administered. I don't know exactly how widespread the vaccinations are going. I've seen the ones that have been publicized about so-and-so's getting a vaccine or the first healthcare worker got a vaccine. But hopefully, you know, moving forward, everyone's going to be able to get it and make a dent in this thing. Because that's, I mean, this is, I'm getting so tired of it.
I know. And here, like already, we've been talking about it 10 minutes. That being said, I guess we could move on. So it's, as we've already said, it's Christmas week. Obviously, the end of 2020 is very near. We've certainly had a lot of fun this year.
With this
podcast. What's been your favorite episode or a couple of your favorite episodes?
Well, I mean, we've had some really good ones. I really love the May series. But I'm going to have to go back to Mark with Zoo Medicine because, you know, that was my first introduction to veterinary medicine of working in a zoo and kind of being around those exotic animals and just all the stuff that he came up with. Like, I'm still just flabbergasted at the drawing blood from a tarantula. I was like,
oh my gosh, I know.
It's a spider. Why are we drawing blood on spiders? But, you know, just the whole anatomy and physiology of everything was fascinating to me. And just all those animals he gets to work with and just the, for lack of a better term, the MacGyvering he has to do to, like, the ventilator for an elephant.
Yeah.
Using a leaf blower was like, you think about that and you're like, how are you going to generate that kind of force to open up an alveoli in an elephant's lungs? That's probably my favorite episode of
or like year. The photo he posted online, and I know Steven Sattal talked about it as well, but taking like a couple of three-way stopcocks and a catheter and like the finger from a rubber glove and making basically a little bag to I think snakes and small reptiles
just,
and different things.
Just amazing the amount of the innovation that they have to do to make that kind of stuff is, you know, and we've all done this, right? Like when you work with an anesthetic machine, you're like, well, I don't have the right connection system.
Right.
And you pretty much come up with it by finding different parts and pieces and doing that. That's the stuff that kind of fascinates me. And just the crazy animals that he gets to work on is just so fascinating. How about you? What was your favorite?
I think for me, honestly, it was Lisa's episode in the forensics. I thought that was so fascinating. And, you know, to know that there are actually clinics out there that operate in that way or that support, you know, staff members being motivated by that and having that available, because especially, you know, in some of our, you know, maybe, you know, more heavily populated areas there, you know, where there's, you know, maybe fighting dogs or different things where, you know, and like something that comes into the hospital and just kind of having that keen eye to say like, something isn't right here. We can collect some evidence. And as a veterinary technician, I thought that was super fascinating. And And I, of course, I don't really have anything to do with this particular role, but working for the Animal Poison Control and the ASPCA, you know, I see a lot of stuff that they post online as well, which kind of runs alongside of that. And they're actually opening up, I think it's in Gainesville, Florida, soon, a facility dedicated to veterinary forensics, essentially.
Oh, that's awesome.
And helping fight animal cruelty. And it's going to be a lab and all kinds of stuff. And I think that's coming in 2021. So like, I mean, there are, you know, people out there that are heavily motivated by it, and there are tools and resources available. Yeah. And just some of the stuff that she was doing and in her hospital, I just found absolutely fascinating. So,
well, and just thinking back to that episode, just the getting back into clinics and thinking about things that don't make sense. You're like, wow, that's really weird. How could that possibly have happened? Thinking it's just a freak accident or a freak thing that's only going to happen the one time. And then putting the forensic side of it into thinking that, maybe this wasn't just a freak accident. Maybe this was something that was done intentionally.
Yeah.
Kind of changed my perspective of thinking about some of these, you know, the crazy broken bones that we see
of,
that's kind of weird, but probably not as random or as accidental as you might think it was.
Right. You know, and I think about too the reporting side of things, you know, as credentialed technicians and credentialed employees and as veterinarians, like we've all taken an oath. And you know, this isn't, you know, a dog that's come in and found a joint and is high. Like, yeah, obviously we're not going to report that, but this kind of thing is and needs to be reported. And you know, it's not like we're going to be doing the investigation. Like, maybe nothing comes of it and it's no big deal, but like,
the
onus is on us as veterinary professionals
to say,
like, hey, something like 2 and 2 don't equal 4 in this situation. Like, there's some very classic signs here, and somebody needs to look into this. And like, that's something that we as veterinary credentialed technicians need to be doing.
Yeah.
And so, you know, that kind of aspect of it as well. I think reporting is only required in a few dozen states. I don't think it's a national thing. I know it is here in California, but maybe it's not for some people, but it's still something that I feel pretty strongly needs to be addressed. And it's hard to, it's, you know, we focus on just treating the patient, but we kind of sometimes forget about the reason why. And so, yeah, I just
also give me a newfound respect for maggots. Right?
Oh gosh, yeah, absolutely.
Like, I used to think of them as like, these are gross, let's just get rid of them,
right.
Not realizing that they actually have some information.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I think that was just, again, that was something I didn't really know anything about. And
these two episodes, these were like back to back, weren't they?
They were really close.
I think they were close,
really, really close, yeah. So, but I mean, we had so many great episodes that
we did.
Learned so much. You know, another one that really comes to my mind is Tabitha's episode in behavior.
Yeah.
Because I've never really been, you know, behavior motivated, I guess I could say. But so hearing some of her insight on some of those topics was super fascinating. And so many that are just things, areas of the profession, which is the whole point, right? Of things I never think of. And were just super cool. So I think the forensics one was the standout one for me. So, well, as we head into 2021,
oh boy,
what I know, right?
2021 is going to happen in what, like 3 months, three or 4 months?
yeah, basically.
if it goes the same speed the rest of 2020 has gone,
12 days, 3 months, same 12 thing, basically.
Yeah, roughly.
What's on the horizon? What do we want to do with the show? What are some of your thoughts?
Well, we've been talking about doing this international series of getting people from different countries, because you know, we focus primarily on people that are in the U.S. and you know, we've talked about it a lot. Like, we have downloads from all these, I don't even know what the number is up to now, but all these different countries of people in different lands and their protocols, their credentialing,
their education,
their titles, all of that's going to be different. And just kind of looking into that, and you know, we've talked to someone from Canada, And I think
Australia,
we've got someone from the UK on the horizon.
And then, and Mark actually, kind of get us in touch with a technician.
Is that Poland?
Yeah. One other, and an additional one in France as well. So, you know, we'll kind of sprinkle those in as well and talk about what it looks like to be a veterinary technician in these other countries. And man, I'm super excited.
Yeah. And just seeing the different things they deal with. And, you know, mm-hmm. You and I have been on the credentialing committee for AVECT and, you know, some of the reports that or the case reports we get from Australia, mm-hmm. like with the crazy snake bites that they see,
yeah.
or the spider bites that they see that we just don't see here. Those are always mm-hmm. the ones that fascinate me, and I read them really thoroughly because I'm like, what's going on here? just the different things that they see, and also different things that they have available to them. Because remember, you know, we have Alvaxin now in the U.S. and mm-hmm. for the longest time, they had it over in the UK, and when it first came over here, we're like, okay, what is this stuff? How can we utilize this? So they probably have different mm-hmm. things that are available to them that we just don't have here yet.
Yeah, so
and probably vice versa. We probably have stuff that's available to us that they don't have over there.
Yeah, agreed. And you know, last I looked, which has been several months now, but the last I remember, we had downloads in 55 different countries.
Oh, wow.
So it'll be really cool to hear some, you know, and just share stories and experiences with technicians from different parts of the world.
And we've talked to people that have gone to different countries, like mm-hmm. Amanda Amber, Hedman.
Amber LaRock.
Amber LaRock, that have gone to other places, but not some of that actually, like...
Yeah,
practices there like full time.
Yeah, one other thing I kind of want to do too, you know, in terms of different episode ideas, and you having, you know, been teaching so much so recently, is kind of not. I don't know if career advice is the right phrase for this, but career planning or career development. How much career development or career path guidance, you know, did students get in vet tech school? I mean, the answer is probably zero for most people. And I think that's why a lot of technicians think that life doesn't exist outside of the clinic environment. Yeah. And that's, you know, a whole part of what we want to do with this podcast. So I've got a couple people in mind that I want to talk to about coming on the show and talking about how to find different career options or, like, you know, once you've, you know, maybe hit your expiration date in a clinic, what else can you do as a veterinary technician still in this field without leaving the field?
Yeah. Well, and that's kind of, like you said, that's kind of why we're doing this whole thing, right?
Exactly. So I've got a couple people in mind to talk to about different things relating to that and look at some career planning or some career development or career advancement type of discussions as well, which I think could be a lot of fun. So,
well, I will say that when I was teaching, like every time I encountered a new group of students, and I'll probably preface this with the fact that we started this podcast before I started teaching. You know, one of the first things I would ask, like as an icebreaker, like, what do you want to do? Like, mm-hmm. what's your goal? And you know, I heard like the standard of like, I don't know, I just want to work in a practice, and or some people would say I want to work in emergency or I want to work with large animal. I did have a few that wanted to work in exotic, a few that wanted to work with lab animals, a couple that wanted to work in zoo medicine. And I wonder how much of that is biased by the fact that we have this podcast, that that's what we're trying to do. We're trying to open up other avenues.
For sure.
Of just trying to, and you know, that gives me a sense of getting to know somebody of what do you want? And it actually kind of guided some of the lectures that I gave of like, you're going to see some of this if you work in zoo medicine, like you or you that told me you wanted to look into something like that. And it kind of gave me an opportunity to kind of gear their education towards what they were looking for. I mean, obviously not 100%, but for the most part, things would come up that I could like a guide towards those mm-hmm. individuals that were looking at some of those things. But I think on the whole, I don't know how, like, I'm one teacher, right? You know, I'm one teacher in one program. How much of that is taught in other programs? I don't know the answer to that.
Right. And, you know, I think that we have pretty solid evidence out there of the shelf life of the veterinary technician. And, you know, I think as well established as that's becoming, I think then we really better look at finding other ways to keep people in the profession. If all they think is out there is a clinic, and there's nothing beyond that, and they get into a clinic, you know, it's a similar story for a lot of people. You get into a clinic pretty young, you learn to do some really cool stuff, you know, really early on, and then a few years later, it's like, well, now what?
Well, and just think about when we started. Like, we were both at that crossroads of like, absolutely, I don't want to do this anymore, but I don't want to leave the field.
Right, absolutely.
And granted, so, it took us 24, 25 years to figure that out, but
right,
you know,
right,
the stats are, what, 5 to 7 years for, mm-hmm, for a veterinary technician? Mm-hmm. And
probably only accelerated in 2020 because,
oh, yeah,
I know everybody, yeah, is just stretched to their limits. Yeah. And obviously, like, we don't want to discourage people from working in clinics or, you know, leaving.
No, that's
early.
Yeah,
that's not the whole point. But the right, whole point is you've gained a certain amount of knowledge. You've gained a certain amount of technical skill and ability. Like, is there a way that you can continue to use that throughout the rest of your working career? And the answer is absolutely yes. It's just there aren't really great resources out there for veterinary technicians to find those other avenues. So,
right, right. Yeah,
so that's kind of what I hope to bring.
Well, and I think if you look at it, like, in terms of veterinary technicians, what are your career options, right? We've talked on a bunch of them, but the vast majority is working in a clinic, right? Mm-hmm. Either ER, either referral, general practice, what have you. I mean, the market share of veterinary technicians in practice has got to be, what, 90%? 95%?
Yep, at least, yeah.
And then these other avenues that we're talking about are a very small portion of it. But mm-hmm, again, we're trying to open that up and expose people to it to say, there's other things you can do. You don't have to work in a practice for 20 some odd years like we did to be successful.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And, you know, I think something you brought up earlier as well, our series this past May, the mental health series, we're going to definitely be doing that again and kind of dive into some other topics. That'll be again, probably a pretty heavy series.
Yeah. Well, we've talked about, you know, you and I kind of bounced off some ideas. I think we have 3 ideas that are not the same, that, like, we're not going to do the same series every May. Yeah,
absolutely. But still, like, kind of revolving around mental health
and
different issues that maybe are maybe more niche to our field. When I'm thinking of one of the topics we've been talking about, we can try, you know, we still have to kind of figure out how to pull that together. But and then, you know, actually, kind of spoiler alert, our next episode that we're actually recording on Monday is another mental health.
Yeah, that's right.
So it's not just limited to May. You know, obviously, this is it's a recurring theme of our podcast, but it's a recurring theme in our field.
Yeah.
And so it's a situation and a condition that we don't take lightly, and we are still going to continue to dedicate episodes to it as different things come to light. And
I mean, we could very, very easily make this entire podcast be simply mental health.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And never run out of material.
And never. Yeah, exactly.
And you know, or people to interview and you know, different things to talk about. So, you know, we're going to have still our, you know, strong commitment to mental health in 2021. Yep. And, you know, something that we kind of touched on a little bit to this year, we had so many ideas and different things we wanted to do with the podcast. I don't think we probably put as much of a spotlight on it as we want to, but, we've talked a lot about trying to, you know, bring more diversity to our podcast and but also really highlight that in veterinary medicine as well. And so I think we're going to try and focus a bit more on that in 2021 as well.
Well, and the hard part is that, you know, we're two white guys that came from really right white upbringings. Mm-hmm. Not that we're not the right people to be bringing this topic up, but it impacts us. It impacts the mm-hmm. people we work with. It impacts our friends that we work with, friends that we mm-hmm. know in the field. Mm-hmm. And the hard part about this is, again, when we talked about this with Teresa, like, these are uncomfortable conversations that we have to have.
They are.
And it's hard for us to bring it up as people that are on the outside looking in. Like, we're trying very hard to be allies.
Right.
It's just difficult for us to deal with it and to discuss it because I don't want to say it doesn't impact us, because it certainly does impact us, but we are not directly impacted by the fact that there's not enough diversity in this field.
Right, right. And, you know, I've been thinking a lot about the last couple days about, you know, differences in being anti-racist and being complicit and, and different things as you know, some situations have played out in recent days and the last week or so. And you know, it's definitely something that I want to take a much, much harder and a much deeper look into in 2021 and have, you know, different conversations with different people. And I actually just saw on Facebook this week in a post that, you know, we're fairly widely regarded as like the whitest profession that's out there.
Yeah. And
and so, you know, diversity in our field is not not high,
I guess
you could say. Right. And but that doesn't mean, you know, and to be honest, I think statistically, you know, if you look at our episodes, you know, they probably kind of line up with the statistics on our
exactly,
field.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah.
We've only had... But we want to turn that tide a little bit, and we want to continue to have those difficult, uncomfortable, but very, very meaningful and powerful discussions. And, we've got a couple people in mind for 2021.
Yeah.
You know, we kind of want to talk to about some things yeah, I know that me personally, I need to be more proactive and, you know, really work on not making that happen for the podcast, but making that happen for myself. And, it frankly scares the hell out of me, but also I am really, really excited and like motivated to talk about it a little bit more. So.
Well, we have to. That's the only way we're going to way we're going to get over this, or not absolutely. Over this, but get to the root of the problem.
Absolutely.
Is to talk about it.
Yeah. So, you know, we had our first giveaways recently. We had a cross promotional episode with Vetfolio. We've got some stuff coming up with VSPN. You and I are both doing VSPN courses.
Yep.
Here coming up in January.
And Charlotte said that there was going to be some type of giveaway, but we have to. Yeah. We'll have to talk to her again and figure out all that.
Yeah, so definitely stay tuned for that. But, you know, ultimately, and it kind of, I think, again, 2020 kind of derailed this to some degree, but ultimately we would like to help sponsor people take board exams or send them to conferences. That's the whole point of us trying to...
We should have done that this year because, you know, we are the ECC techs and IVEX was $40 this year. We could have sponsored 4 or 5 people.
I know. And it didn't even dawn on me.
Yeah.
And, but you know, it's partnerships with BetterHelp that allow us to do that.
Yep.
You know, I think we've had one episode otherwise sponsored. We're going to try and work on that a little bit more.
Yep.
But you know, we really want to, you know, kind of make that a focus of what we do as well. And ultimately too, get some merchandise out there. We've been talking about that for months
and all this stuff, you know, guys, you guys listening, we're not in this, we're not doing this to make money. Mm-hmm. Not that we're making tons of money, but the money that comes into the podcast goes into making the podcast.
Yeah.
And giving stuff away to you guys. That's the ultimate goal of all this. We are not counting on this to be a, I mean, I would love for this to be my job. That would be fantastic. If this paid for the bills, I would love it, but that's not the goal right now. That is not where we're at.
No.
But the money that we take in, we're hoping to turn around and give back to you. That's not the whole, the whole goal is to make the profession better and the money that comes into us, we hope to turn around one way or the other, either through merchandise to give away to you guys, for CE fees to cover, for you know, the giveaways that we have, all that stuff. We're hoping to give back to you guys. That's our ultimate goal. This is kind of a what they call a hobby podcast where we're not intending to make money at all.
Right.
And I guess in the early stages, you know, up until, I don't know, about 6-7 months ago, all this was all out of pocket, right? This is all stuff that you and I pooled our money together and said, okay, we've got $15 here a month, $20 here a month. Mm-hmm. Let's pay for all this and just make it go. And putting our our podcast out to the world hopefully is going to, that's the benefit to us.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's not the money. We don't care about the money.
No.
I mean, because in the early stages, we were losing money on this. So.
Right, yeah, for sure, for sure.
Yeah.
So, but definitely want to give a huge thank you to AHA. They sponsored this episode during Mental Health Month.
They were the whole reason we got the LLC, right? Because
yes, absolutely. Absolutely.
Had to figure out what to do with the money.
Right. And Vetfolio, you know, we did that crossover episode with them, and they allowed us to give away a couple of memberships. And then I'm also going to give away another membership at the Carveta Symposium in California in the spring. So huge thanks to them for stepping up and helping us out, and to BetterHelp as well. We've kind of partnered with them for some
mental health,
virtual and online mental health, counseling and support. Stuff. So when you see those posts, again, those aren't posts to, you know, try to bring money into the podcast. Those are posts to try to hopefully bring light to mental health and, you know, put a resource out there. But also, like, that's the, you know, any money that we get off of that is to kind of help give back. So so hopefully that's well received.
Yeah.
But a huge thank you to those three partners this year for really helping us out.
And what was the other one was VetBloom helped us out a lot, too.
Oh, yes, VetBloom. Thank you very much. I forgot about VetBloom. But, yeah, we did some great giveaway stuff with them around Vet Tech Week. As part of VetBloom, I know we're going to be talking to them shortly after the new year at some point. So,
yeah, for some more stuff. Yep.
Yeah, so hopefully more will be coming there as well. So,
and also the Yvonne and Jordan at Internal Medicine for Vet Techs, they're doing a great job with their – their CE,
and that series. Whole community that they've built, is really impressive. So
they've done a fantastic job with what they're doing.
Yeah, for sure. We've got quite a few. In fact, the two big collaboration episodes that we did with Kat and Lewis and Rob down in Australia and
Yvonne and Jordan
and Tasha.
Oh, yeah, and Tasha too.
A lot of really great veterinary podcasters doing some really cool stuff. So, if you like,
there's more on the way because there's other veterinary technician podcasts that we've discovered that we probably need to loop in as well.
Yeah, absolutely. So, hopefully in 2021 we can step up our merchandise game a little bit. We can step up our giveaway game a little bit. Maybe as especially towards the end of 2021, I know a lot of conferences that had to go virtual this year are looking at, you know, maybe doing at least something in person. At least that's what they're trying to plan for right now. And so hopefully we can put something together and get somebody to one of these if we can get a little bit more support. So,
and speaking of merchandise, how about if you're hearing this, let us know what you want. Like I made a hoodie that that's my go-to hoodie now. We've got mugs. We've floated the idea of some of the guest quotes that we've had to put those on t-shirts because some of those are really poignant for our field. Let us know what you want,
and
we'd be happy to.
Yeah,
like we have the avenues to make this happen. And again, not something we're making money off of. Something we are providing to, I guess, promote free advertising for the podcast. But
right.
Hopefully, we'll make it nice enough that you'll enjoy and like to have in your.
But I would say anybody that's listening, just kind of picture yourself again in 2021, hopefully back at a conference live.
Yeah.
And you're walking through the exhibit hall and you come to the Vet Tech Cafe table because ultimately we would love to have a table at a couple of conferences. What do you want to see at our table? What would you like to leave with? Stickers, pins, pens, buttons.
Maybe we can get a flag,
shirts, mugs. I have flags. Those kinds of things. Like, what would you like to take away? Shoot us a message and let us know. We'd love to hear that. Because we don't want to give you a crap you don't want. So if you walk away from our table with something, we don't want you to think, man, I got to find the first trash can to throw this in. So let us know what you want, and hopefully we can put it together. And we have our logo up on a couple of places. So
yeah, we do.
Theoretically, make their own stuff right now.
Yeah.
On is it Cafe Press?
Cafe Press. Yeah, has our logo there.
So, but you know, once we kind of get back with some in-person stuff, hopefully we'll have some stuff available.
Hopefully. So, oh
yeah.
I can't, The first conference we actually go to is going to be like, we're not going to go to any lectures. We're just going to spend the entire time catching up with people that we haven't seen in 2 years, right?
It is going to be like a substitute teacher in a third grade class situation where everybody is just running around, not paying attention to everything, like screaming at the top of their lungs, so excited.
Yeah.
Yeah. Probably with masks on. Yeah. I don't know if you've seen online. I saw it on Facebook and I commented on whoever posted it that I want to make this happen for IVEX 2021, where a guy.
Oh, the pillow fight?
Literally runs up to random people on the street with a bunch of pillows and then just has a random pillow fight with people he doesn't know. And
That'll work.
It's like, oh, that's so amazing.
Yeah, we should do that. Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. Maybe we can get some Vet Tech Cafe pillows. anyway,
just with the logo, not with our faces, right? We don't want people.
Well, I mean, you know, hey.
I mean, let us know. Do you want a pillow with Dave or Jeff's face on it?
Yeah,
let us know.
Would you have a pillow fight with Vet Tech Cafe pillows? Would you rather have a pillow fight?
Would you rather
with Vet Tech Cafe logo pillows or Dave and Jeff logo pillows? Oh man,
I think we know the answer to that.
Yeah, for sure. Well, buddy, I think that's just about it.
Yeah.
Spoiler alert again, we're recording another episode on Monday. We've got one more coming out the end of this year. It'll be out week
27th,
from
Monday,
on the 27th. It's another mental health type episode. We'll be talking with a licensed social worker who works in practice.
And we've talked about him a lot in the episodes.
And I'm really excited to interview him and kind of get his perspective on things.
Yeah.
And I think that'll be a good cap to 2021. We got a special video we're going to post this week.
Oh, that's
right.
As
kind of a thank you to all of our listeners and to all of our guests.
And this episode's going to be up on this Sunday, right?
Yes, this will post, I guess, tomorrow night.
On the 20th, yeah.
On the 20th, yep. So really, we'll have, I guess, two episodes left, including this one. And then we'll
And this will be unedited, so you're going to hear all the ums and the ahs.
Yeah, this is what it actually sounds like. And then we'll pick up, I think, our first episode in January will be like the 13th or whatever that Sunday night is.
Yep.
And we'll hit the ground running with 2021 And like I said, our VSPN CE courses are in January, so hopefully we'll have some more information.
So like the third week of January, I believe.
Yeah, be able to give away a registration for each of those. You're doing transfusions.
Yep.
And I'm doing fluid therapy, so super cool stuff there. So check those out if you're interested in those topics or need some CE and hit the ground running with your online CE in 2021. I definitely recommend checking those out. And a lot of great CE too with VSPN in general.
Yeah.
Well, what do you think? Anything else you want to touch on before we sign off?
No, just be good to each other. Wear your mask.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely.
And we'll see you guys next year.
Yeah, absolutely. Have a very safe and happy holiday season.
By yourself.
In your bubble.
In your bubble, yes.
And a happy new year. Again, watching the ball drop from home, hopefully.
Yeah.
Those
New Year's celebrations are going to be weird to watch.
Wherever you go, whatever you do, be as safe as you can. And caffeinators, I guess we'll see you in 2021.
Bye, guys.
Bye, guys.